the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, burnout is a reality in today's culture, affecting everybody from our police force, firefighters, everyday people, executives, to even athletes. What is causing it? What's behind it? And would you ever think of the word burnout associated with retirement? That's what we're going to be talking about today with my guest, Gerald Fishkin. He is author of the book Burnout, How to Cope When It All Gets Too Much. Dr. Let's begin with burnout in the workplace. What is it about today's society that people are getting burnout? And I guess a second question I'd like to follow up, when you get to that point of stress and burnout, the health effects, we're seeing, you know, people have heart attacks or strokes in their 40s. We never used to think of that, of somebody in their 30s and 40s, but it's happening more often today.
Absolutely. But let's take a look at what burnout really means, because burnout is a reality. It's a burnout is mental, emotional, and physical exhaustion. It is the net effect of possibly doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different outcomes. It is when we fail to find meaning and purpose and vitality in our life. It is what happens when we are doing the same thing over and over again and just getting exhausted. So what happens in work is that when we fail to see the joy and pleasure in life and we're just doing the same thing over and over again and not deriving a sense of gratification, we burn out. Now, retirement is a very interesting animal because today's retirement is different from retirement of 50 or 60 years ago, where you worked for 30 or 40 years and you got the gold watch and said, good job, and they send you on your way. Today's retirement's really different because most people don't stay in a job for 30 or 40 years. They move around. And we have a lot of data that says, you know, a worker may have four or five or six different jobs in a lifetime, and they get, you know, different rates of pay for those jobs. So they're not really in one unified job. So burnout is really an interesting thing. There are things that we have to watch out for with burnout in retirement. Number one is the feeling of inadequacy and low self-esteem. That goes hand in hand with a lack of employment. You know, most of us, Jim, derive so much gratification from what we do for a living. We identify with our job. We get our self-esteem and our self-worth from what we do for a living. The second is so that's gone in retirement. The other is the need for control and the inability to deal with ambiguity. And again, in our society, you know, we want to have a sense of control, but the fear of loss of control and uncertainty about the future are felt by many new retirees. They just don't feel safe.
How much of burnout also is financial? Because the rate of return on assets isn't as great from safe investments today as it was 10, 20 years ago.
Well, absolutely. And so what happens is the retiree, you know, there's the whole thing about we don't plan to fail, we fail to plan, right? So I think that retirement requires planning, but we don't have control over what happens with the financial part of our life. So, you know, retirement generally means a reduced income, and typically the retiree must learn to reduce his level of spending and live according to his prevailing financial situation. In other words, got to watch overspending. However, you know, when the prime rate goes down and our monthly revenue is significantly reduced, that means that we have to modify how we live. Many retirees don't want to do that. That leads to much more stress. So retirement really means is really about how do we control the stress of our existence? How do we control the things that we have no control over, and how do we adapt to that? And I think that there are, you know, there are many different things that we can do to deal with that. But I think psychologically, we have to learn to live in the present, and we have to have a positive survival spirit. We have to watch our spending. That's really important. Not make any major changes. You know, when somebody retires, Jim, I tell all of my retirees, cops, firefighters, and bank presidents, and lawyers, whoever I'm dealing with, that you got to reduce your spending. You got to find a meaning and purpose in life that's not about money. Which means finding, you know, things in your community, doing things that give you a sense of purpose. And that means we must stay vital mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually. I don't know if that actually answers your question, but we don't have control over a lot of things in retirement.
Yeah, and in addition to the financial aspects of retirement, there's also the fact, Doctor, that people are living longer. I know when Social Security first came out, life expectancy for male was between 65 and 68. Today, we're seeing men live into their 90s, if not 100. So it's not just the rate of return on investments. It's the fact that you're living longer. And if you live longer, sooner or later down the road, you're more likely to run into some serious medical issues.
That's true. And hopefully folks have, you know, some kind of decent medical insurance to cover that. Not, you know, there's not one plan for everyone, as they're talking about today, giving, you know, Medicare for all. I think that, and I see this, most of the people I work with have some form of insurance because they have been, you know, employed. They've been gainfully employed. Yes, and we are living longer, which means we have to continue to stay vital. I think that that is one of the important things that I see day to day. But in retirement, you know, there's that sense, and especially for men, of feeling alienated from the rest of society. And some folks withdraw altogether. Some find company in the local pub. Some find, you know, or some engage in nonprofit organizations and donate their time. I've been involved in many local nonprofits over the years, and a lot of, I'm still fully employed, self-employed rather, as a psychotherapist and author. But I think that what I see when I am involved in my nonprofit, there are a lot of retirees, men and women, who find meaning and purpose in just donating their time to stay relevant so that they're not outside of the mainstream of life. Because that sense of alienation, that feeling of not feeling relevant anymore, is horrific. And again, I think we have to find meaning and purpose in our daily life. And especially if we are physically somewhat incapacitated, I think we have to find a meaning and purpose in whatever we do. Because we know that those that don't have meaning and purpose don't survive. They don't live as long as others who do.
And that's an interesting thing that you bring up, because I can remember early on in my career, a very high-stressed executive that retired didn't have any hobbies. He didn't play golf. And basically, he became a couch potato and, quite honestly, only lived 4 or 5 years. So it is a serious issue. What do you tell people where you take somebody like this executive,
right,
who worked long hours, you know, everything in his life was associated with work, the people he hung out with or went out to dinner, and then all of a sudden it comes time for retirement. You don't have hobbies. You don't have a purpose. What do you tell somebody like that? How do you get them on away from this sort of alienation that some of these people feel because they're now isolated? The coterie of friends and things that they had with work aren't there anymore.
Yeah, you know, Jim, that is a major area, a major point, and I think that that has to be dealt with. Number one, what I see is overcoming what I call the poor me attitude upon retirement. That takes serious effort. You know, we can't grow from self-pity, and others get tired of hearing about it anyway. And I think we have to learn to, and as a therapist, we have to learn to overcome thoughts resulting from feelings of inadequacy and low self-worth. That tends, as you said, tends to reduce our lifespan, if you will. And there's no positive benefit from feeling bad about yourself, because nobody's going to join your pity party, believe me. And people get tired of hearing about it. So I think the reality here is we've got to stay relevant. We have to find meaning and purpose. We've got to get out of the house. Now, as far as golf and those hobbies are concerned, yeah, my wife and I are golfers, but you can't, I just don't think it's possible to play golf 7 days a week. You know, we're not on the senior tour. It's impossible. And I think what happens is you burn out playing golf, and especially because some of your golf partners may still be working, or they may be retired and traveling or doing whatever. So that idea that I'm going to play golf 4 or 5 days a week, that's not a reality. In fact, that I think that can add to one's despair, if you will. But I think getting out of the house and socializing is really important. It doesn't have to be a regular activity.
How do you get somebody that, let's say, doesn't play golf, doesn't have a hobby, was heavily involved in business, how do you get them reoriented to, you mentioned like sometimes volunteering. One of my busy executives, that's exactly what he did, is he got involved in a business group that kind of mentors entrepreneurs, and he found a lot of meaning and purpose in that.
Well, absolutely. And I think that there are folks who will actually work as a mentor and take their skill set and help to carry it over onto those that are just coming up now. I think that's, again, a way of finding meaning and purpose in your universe. And also it's a way of staying relevant in the mainstream. Again, one of the things that I see, one of the psychological aspects that I see over and over is that sense of alienation, that feeling of being out of the mainstream. It's really an incredibly isolating and a negative feeling, if you will. And we've got to deal with that, because not feeling a part of the mainstream is kind of like being in prison, a self-induced prison, if you will. So you really have to get out and do something that gives you a sense of meaning. And I'm not talking about just doing anything. You know, I've met some folks. I got involved in model trains a few years ago, and I seniors and, you know, retired folks at the train store, that's their hobby. Wherever I go, I see people engaged. But then there are those that are the shut-ins, those that just feel like life is meaningless and life has no purpose. That is really the royal road to an early death, if you will. I don't think that's the healthiest way to survive or try to survive.
Yeah. How do you counsel somebody like that? Do you have them get involved in local, it could be their church. Maybe if they do play golf, they can get involved in the country club. But like you said, you know, I remember once taking a month off during the month of August. I'm a sailor. And, you know, after going sailing 7 or 8 days in a row, I got bored. You just can't do. I don't care if it's golf, sailing, tennis, whatever it is. You're just not going to do that 7 days a week and find meaning.
No, because I think what is essential, and I see that in my puppy. I'm raising a year old puppy. Variety and novelty are really important to stay vital. So I think we have to change it up a bit. If you do the same thing day after day, life does get boring, and there is that need for novelty. So again, we've got to change things up. I think folks should have a game plan every day. Again, I think when we wake up in the morning, we ought to kind of know what today is going to look like. Whether it, you know, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. Are you going to go to your place of religion? Are you going to volunteer? Are you going to go exercise, work out? I live at the beach. I see a lot of folks down walking along the beach or riding bicycles. I think that there are many things that we can do to get out of the house, get out of our, and especially, Jim, get out of our head. Because living in our head is a very dark place. And we all know that. There's nothing new. You know, it's like the computer, garbage in and garbage out. So we've got to get out of our head and into the world, reading books. I don't suggest staying home and watching, you know, the TV 24/7, because again, that's a killer. I think we have to get out and mix with people and do things that give us a sense of life, because we have to participate in life. Otherwise, we shut in and shut out. And like, there are many individuals who are just not affiliative. They're just not joiners. In retirement, it's going to be the same thing. We need to work on, you know, what blocks them from getting out, what blocks them from, what causes them to avoid being social, avoid being relevant with other folks. And I think that there are some pre-existing conditions that absolutely need to be dealt with, whether it's a depression or anxiety or some kind of disorder, that has to be dealt with. We cannot, you know, brush that under the table and expect that they're going to change up all of a sudden because they're retired. It doesn't work that way.
Doctor, are there any kind of test, aptitude test that you can give somebody when they retire and say, you know what, you have a propensity or a talent for one kind of thing? In other words, are there any kind of test? I know that, you know, when you're younger, starting out your career, you know, we did this with one of my sons who took a test and found out he was had an aptitude for law and finance. Is there anything like that in retirement?
You know, not really. I mean, we do have aptitude and interest inventories, and they're out there. But I would imagine that by the time somebody is 50, 60, maybe even 70 years old, they ought to know what they're interested in and know what they like and know what they don't like. And I think that's helpful. But again, you got to be out in the world, Jim, and experience things in order to see what connects with you, what attaches to you, because that's how we find out what our passions are. Usually we find out early in life. We know what they are. I don't expect that we're going to find too many folks are going to find that sense of passion in their senior years. I just don't think it works that way. I do think getting out of the house and getting mixing with folks is the best way to find some sense of purpose and meaning.
What about also the role that exercise plays? Because, you know, when you exercise, you get those positive endorphins in your body. You know, it's a nice way to keep from getting depressed. And especially if, for example, you want to talk about getting out, if you join some kind of fitness center, you're probably going to end up meeting people your age or other people when you go to your workouts. You're getting out of the house. And you're also doing something that's good for your body.
Absolutely. Boy, I wish we could can and bottle that and sell it or just give it away. I think that diet and exercise is critical. Remember, it's better than being a couch potato and sitting there watching Fox News all day long and expecting that, you know, you're going to have a good day. No, it doesn't work that way. When we get out and exercise, what we're doing is we're reducing the reuptake of serotonin and increasing our dopamine. In other words, we're feeling less depressed and happier. And I think that's critical. And you're right. We can meet people in the gym. We can meet people when we're exercising or walking on a walking path or a nature path. There are many communities that have nature paths, walking paths, and just getting outside is really important. Again, it beats isolating and sitting at home, wondering where your life went.
Yeah, I have a couple clients. One of the things one of them does is every single morning they get together after breakfast and they go for a mile or two walk. So it's kind of a social event. They're out enjoying the fresh air, but they're also exercising and also socializing.
That's right. And I think that's what's critically important. Now, not everybody, given the same situation, is going to socialize. Remember, we have a lot of people who don't socialize. They're non-social or asocial, which means that they don't derive a lot of gratification from socializing. And maybe that's how they were raised. I don't know. But everybody is different in that respect. So I don't think there's one plan for everybody. But I think there are some important pointers for surviving retirement.
Yeah, I want to go back to somebody that's working. Let's say you take somebody in their mid-40s, they've got kids, they're putting in 50, 60-hour weeks at the office or whatever they're doing, and they start getting to the point of burnout. How do you help somebody like that? How do you help them get through that so it isn't as stressful? Because we do see this. It gets to the point of so much stress. Next thing you know, somebody's having a heart attack at a young age or something is breaking down physically for the body because we know stress can be a killer.
Well, it is a killer, and we know that. I've written 3 books on occupational stress, and I see that at my office when folks come in 40, 50, 60, and they're exhausted from what they're doing. Most of the time, people are locked in. You know, we're locked in by money. We're locked in by, you know, the demands placed upon us by family, our economic plans, whatever, our economic situation, rather. So many people just feel locked in and they're not deriving a sense of meaning. So what do? We have to help the individual, first of all, redefine what's going on in their life. In other words, how did you get this way? What's going on in your world that's creating these pressures? Are they internal, external, or a combination of both? So we've got to break that down and find out what the heck is going on, where you once had a vital and meaningful life, all of a sudden, everything is same old, same old. That's the royal road to burnout, and that's the royal road to depression and anxiety. So we need to change that up and find out. Oftentimes, therapy is very or critically important in helping an individual overcome their malaise or feeling locked in, feeling stuck. That's the worst thing a person can feel is stuck. And oftentimes, when I see a young worker who feels that way, there's other things going on in their life as well. Maybe they're very reserved. They're non-social. Maybe they just you know, have a sense of inadequacy. Maybe they have shame. I don't know. But many factors relate, you know, relate to what causes a person to experience burnout, mental, emotional, and physical exhaustion. There are many factors that cause that. And again, it's everybody is different. And I don't think there's one plan for everybody. But there are those things that we have to look for to help a person develop a new identity away from their occupation, because that's critical.
You know, doctor, how important is having a plan for retirement? I know some of our clients, well, we do a lot of retirement planning, but part of that plan is including, what are you going to be doing when you retire? What are your hobbies? Are you going to travel? Are you going to be involved? Are you going to be working part-time? And it was interesting because one of our clients retired from a very high-stress life in New York City, living in Manhattan, to the West Coast, and he found a very meaningful job as a guide at Hearst Castle. He loved the history of the castle. And meeting people that were there, it was a life changer for him.
Right. I actually have a patient who is a docent at a major car museum here in L.A. He was a naval commander. He commanded a submarine. He was a captain of a submarine.
Wow.
But he's a docent yes, it's a true story. He's one of the folks I work with. So I really believe, Jim, that we need to have a balance in life. We need to have that. It's not one thing or another. It's a combination of things that give us a sense of meaning and a sense of affiliation, whether it's our community stuff or religious or other activities. You know, the big issue, and we haven't talked about it, is communication. Many people don't communicate. You know, they're not trained as a psychologist or social worker, but communication is really important. What I find is that regardless of who the individual is, when folks come into my office and they're dealing with either enforced retirement or they're getting ready to retire, it's that how they communicate about it. The low side, sharing their feelings rather than keeping them all locked up is really very important. And whether it's talking to a therapist, a priest, a rabbi, spouse, best friend, it's really important to communicate. And those folks who don't have the best time in retirement are the same individuals who don't communicate their downside. So I think that's a critical issue here, because they need to talk about their thoughts and feelings of especially inadequacy and low self-worth in retirement. That's very important.
Well, doctor, as we close, talk about your book, Burnout, How to Cope When It All Gets to Be Too Much, because I think it's a good read, especially for those that are approaching retirement. They may have doubts in their mind. What does that retirement look like? What are they going to do with their free time? What are their hobbies are going to be? Or even dealing with things like finances. What kind of money, what kind of cash flow are they going to have? So let's talk about your book for a second.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about it. So the book is entitled American Dream, American Burnout, How to Cope When It All Gets to Be Too Much. It's on Amazon at Dr. Jerry at drgeraldfishkin.com, and that's D-R-G-E-R-R-Y. I have a TV show that I do on the internet, the Dr. Jerry Fishkin Show. We talk about many of these issues on my show.
All right. Well, listen, doctor, thanks so much for coming on the program, because this is really becoming a very important issue. I see it on a day-to-day basis dealing with a lot of retirees facing these issues, some voluntarily, some involuntarily. I'm glad we could have you on the show today. All the best to you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I look forward to seeing you or talking with you again.
That concludes my interview with Dr. Gerald Fishkin. And once again, if you are one of those individuals, you know, maybe you're 5 years or 10 years out from retirement, you might want to look at this book, because, you know, retirement is more than just what is a number that you need to have. Most advisors will tell you, well, retirement is about achieving a number. It's much more than that. It's also about finding meaning in retirement, which is what we've been discussing in this interview. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.